beginning,
anta,
end, vantaha, subject to, kaunteya, O son of Kunti,
na,
never,
teshu,
in those, ramate,
takes delight,
buddha,
the intelligent person.
Srila Prabhupada's purport, ultimate translation, an intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery which are due to contact with the material senses. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise man does not delight in them. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Material sense pleasures are due to the contact of the material senses, which are all temporary because the body itself is temporary. A liberated soul is not interested in anything which is temporary. A liberated soul, knowing well the joys of transcendental pleasures, how can a liberated soul agree to enjoy false pleasure? In the Padma Purana, it is said, Ramante yogino nante satyanande chidatmani iti rama padena sau param brahma abhidiyate. The mystics derive unlimited transcendental pleasures from the Absolute Truth, and therefore the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, is known as Rama. In the Srimad Bhagavatam also, 5.5.1, it is said, Nayam deho deha bhajam niloke kastam kaman aharite vit ujam ye tapo divyam putraka yena satvam shudhyed yasmad dhamma saugyam tanantam. My dear sons, there is no reason to labor very hard for sense pleasure while in this human form of life. Such pleasures are available to the stool eaters, the hogs. Rather, you should undergo penances in this life, by which your existence will be purified, and as a result, you will be able to enjoy unlimited transcendental bliss. Therefore, those who are true yogis or learned transcendentalists are not attracted by sense pleasures, which are the causes of continuous material existence. The more one is addicted to material pleasures, the more he is entrapped by material miseries. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamani Namaste Sarasate Deve Gaura Varipacharine Nivishesha Sinyavati Paschacharde Satarane Om Gyanam Simarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksurud Militam Jainam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Anshakal Patrubhyas Chakra Pasundu Viva Chapatitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnava Namaha. An intelligent person, that's the last word, the Buddha, it's like Lord Buddha, one who is wise. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery which are due to contact with the material senses. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise man does not delight in them. If you look at the first line in Sanskrit, just take it by itself for a minute, it's very, very startling. Because just yehi samsparsa jab bhoga. So that's the subject. Bhoga, feel like we food that is enjoyed is called bhoga. Enjoyment in general, bhoga. When it, after it's offered to Krishna, that is prasadam, it's no longer bhoga. So bhoga, any of those things that are enjoyed, any pleasure. And they say what kind, samsparsha ja. Ja means born out of. Samsparsha means contact. Here in the material world, we have our senses, and there are sense objects, and in different ways, according to which sense we're dealing with, we bring the senses into contact with the objects, and there'll be sometimes feeling of pleasure. That's samsparsha ja. Bhoga, the senses come into contact with the object, the tongue tastes something nice, oh, this tastes good. The eyes see something beautiful, oh, this is wonderful, and so on. So we know what it is. So, in fact, we bring our senses into contact with the object, we feel that pleasure, and then we think we know the key to happiness. You just keep doing that. You just repeat it, intensify it, and you got it made. On this basis, civilization is going on. Human life proceeds. But he says here, then the startling part, dukkha yonaya evate. They are in fact, I mean, eva is emphasizing, eva, they are really the source of suffering, dukkha. Dukkha. Dukkha is the word for suffering. So that's like, wow, how can that be? Because what it's saying is that the world is just the opposite of what it seems to be. That those pleasures, which are obviously here, the whole world laid out before us like a big banquet, and we can just dive in and enjoy everything. It says, no, you're suffering. So is this true? Or how is this true? As Krishna says it, we would take it as true. But a lot of people won't believe you when you tell them this. And ultimately, and at the very last sentence, what? I think we have competition here. Maybe you should take the children and run the play. Yes. What is the reason that they're the source of suffering? Well, one, of course, is directly said in the verse, adyantavanta. They have a beginning and an end. That's one characteristic of these pleasures. They start and they finish. But no one's happy with that finishing part. And you'll find out that that doesn't satisfy us because... Well, if you can ask anybody, you had some pleasure, you know, you had a really nice girlfriend, everything was going on. She left you for another guy. She went away. How did you feel? I felt really bad. I was miserable. Why are you miserable? Because, well, we had a good thing going, and I wanted it to keep on going. And how long do you want it to keep on going? Well, how long can I have it? And so in every case, you'll find people, they want their pleasure, and they don't want it to come to an end. So therefore, what we're really looking for is pleasure that doesn't come to an end. We are looking for it in a place where everything is temporary. That's the case. That's the case. Well, you can say, well, what, but you know, this is all we get, we might as well make the best of it. But, of course, it's not all you get. The other thing that this enjoyment of material pleasure does is something worse. It makes us how shall I say, it kills, it makes us numb to spiritual happiness. The effort to enjoy material pleasure makes us incapable of experiencing spiritual happiness. That's why when we talk about spiritual happiness and spiritual pleasure, people can't imagine what you're talking about. Or they think it's some kind of super sense gratification. Because they just can't understand it, what spiritual happiness is. You can't experience it. How can I experience it? Well, you have to stop trying to get after this stuff that has a beginning and an end. So the reason it causes the problem, is the source of suffering, is that it causes us to identify ourselves with the material body. This is how we acquire the false ego, this identification of the self with the material body. It's sense gratification. And so that's necessary to wean ourselves off of it if we want to be capable of spiritual happiness. It's the source of misery, because when we identify ourselves with the material body, then everything that happens to the body, I experience as happening to me. And when these things happen, the body grows old, as it does. I think, you know, now I'm becoming old and decrepit. The body becomes sick, now I'm diseased. The body dies, now I'm being annihilated. We experience these things as if they are happening to us, because we've projected our sense of self onto the material body. And so therefore, sense gratification is the cause of death. Prabhupada said once, death is an illusion we've imposed upon ourselves owing to our desire to enjoy in the world. So that's the price, a few cheap thrills, but you have to go through birth, death, old age, and disease as a consequence. So that's the problem. And that's the dilemma in the material world. These pleasures that arise, in the sense, they are in fact the source of all suffering. The world is just the opposite from which everybody thinks. The trouble is that how do we become free from these desires? They're desires that are in the mind, and they're there, and they're persistent, and we may know better, but we find ourselves in a bind. And so then I want to turn to the Bhagavatam. This is on my handy laptop here. Because Krishna deals with this in a very interesting way. He's talking about devotional service. A devotee who is trying now to make spiritual advancement, who understands this. Many people can't understand it, but the devotees at least can understand this fact. So here's the description. I'm reading from the 11th canto, 20th chapter. This is Krishna speaking to Uddhava. And these are texts number 27 and 28. It goes like this. If you have a Bhagavatam around with the 11th canto, you may want to look at it too. I don't know. Jata srado matkatasu nirvinna sarva karmasu veda dukatmakan kaman padichagepi anishvaraha tatto vajetamam priitaha shradalur riddhanischayaha jushamanas chitan kaman dukodar kams chigar hayan. So this is describing the devotee who jata shraddho matkatasu, that shraddha, faith, jata, has been awakened. He is one who has his faith in matkatasu, Krishna katha, the narration of Krishna. You have faith. Unless you're convinced, he has, having awakened faith in the narration of my glories. This process of hearing and chanting about Krishna, this is something that will actually deliver me the highest good. That's Shraddha. So it's there. He has the Shraddha. And Nirvinna, Sarva Karmasu. Nirvinna means disgusted. Disgusted with all material activities. Sarva Karma. Disgusted with all material activities. That's how it's translated here. Has faith in the process of Krishna consciousness and really is disgusted with material activities. Veda dukatmakan kaman. He knows that all kama, sense gratification, it's translated here as leads to misery. But it's actually, literally, it's more powerful that the Atma, the essential core of all sense gratification, is dukkha, misery. The verse we were just looking at, huh? Dukkha yonaya. From this comes misery. Why? Because it's really at the heart of it. So this is the devotee. He has faith in the process, actually is disgusted with material activities, and knows that all sense gratification is essentially tied to misery. So far, so good. Then, paricchage api anishwaraha. But in the process of renouncing, paricchage, when he tries to give it up, he is anishwaraha. You can say powerless or not in complete control. Ishwara means you have self, you're in control. Here you don't have control. No, you're trying to control the senses, but sometimes they knock you down. So most of us who are at least trying, we have here. So what does he do? Now Krishna is addressing what to do in this case. Again, this is startling. Tato bhajeta mam prita. That person should be prita. He should stay happy. Remain happy. He should continue to worship me. Bhajeta mam. He should go on worshiping me and remaining happy. In other words, don't get discouraged. Okay, it's a little rough, you run into some problems, but keep on going. Don't get depressed, morose, discouraged. Once you keep on going, he says, Shraddhalur, that is to say, with that sense of faith, and dritta nischaya, you know the word nischaya, of a vow with a strong resolve, with resolute conviction, should engage, yusamana chacham, knows that, again, that kaman dukkha udarakam, that all kama leads to suffering. That's true. And garhayan, you should be sorry, repent of any fall downs. Here I'll read the running translation again. Having awakened faith in the narrations of my glories, being disgusted with all material activities, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment, my devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. Dhridha Nishchaya and Shraddhalu. Even though he is sometimes engaged in sense gratification, my devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activity. You know the word repent? So two things go together. He should be happy and he should repent. You regret that you do it, but you don't get so discouraged and miserable that you despair of going on. So I'll read some of the purport. It's a very good purport. It says, the beginning stage of pure devotional service is described here by the Lord. Now notice he's talking about pure devotional service. I mean, in the beginning stage, one is engaged in the process of pure devotional service, but still in the beginning stage, we have impurities. That doesn't mean... Pure devotional service means that your goal is to serve Krishna without any, with complete faith that if I, Krishna is attained, then automatically everything else will be done. I don't have to worry about it. I'm not serving Krishna for anything for me. I just want to serve Krishna. I'm not expecting material rewards or personal prestige or anything like that, just for Krishna. So that's pure. There's no mixture of karma or jnana, you know, that I want liberation or anything. So I'm on the path of pure devotional service, but in the beginning, I'm not pure yet. So this is the beginning stage of pure devotional service. A sincere devotee has practically seen that all material activities lead only to sense gratification, and all sense gratification leads only to misery, as we just saw in the Bhagavad Gita, stated very simply. Thus, a devotee's sincere desire is to engage 24 hours a day in the loving service of Lord Krishna without any personal motivation. That's the desire. The desire is for pure devotional service. The devotee sincerely desires to be established in his constitutional position as the Lord's eternal servitor. And he prays to the Lord to elevate him to this exalted position. The word Anishwara indicates that, that is to say, without power, without control, this case over the senses or the mind. The word Anishwara indicates that because of one's past sinful activities and bad habits, one may not immediately be able to extinguish the enjoying spirit. The Lord here encourages such a devotee not to be overly depressed or morose. That this Prita remain happy. But to remain enthusiastic and to go on with his loving service. The word Nivina, disgusted, he's disgusted with all material activities, as it says here. Nirvina sarva karmasu. The word nirvina indicates that a sincere devotee, although somewhat entangled in the remnants of sense gratification, is completely disgusted with material life and under no circumstances willingly commits sinful activities. This goes on for a while. Let me see. So here describes the mentality of a devotee. He thinks, by my previous shameful life, my heart is polluted with many illusory contaminate attachments. Personally, I have no power to stop them. You know, I admit my condition of being Anishwara. I can't do it myself. Only Lord Krishna within my heart can remove such inauspicious contamination. That's what the devotee feels. Krishna can remove it. So I have to ask him to remove it. But whether the Lord removes such attachments immediately or lets me going on being afflicted by them, I will never give up my devotional service to him. Even if the Lord places millions of obstacles in my path, and even if because of my offenses I go to hell, I will never for a moment stop serving Lord Krishna. I'm not interested in mental speculation and fruitive activities. Even if Lord Brahma personally comes before me offering such engagements, I will not be even slightly interested. Although I am attached to material things, I can see very clearly that they lead to no good because they simply give me trouble and disturb my devotional service to the Lord. Therefore, I sincerely repent my foolish attachments to so many material things, and I am patiently awaiting the Lord's mercy. So this is the attitude of a devotee by which one can make progress. It is the Lord really who will do these things for us, and we have to remove these things, and we have to pray and be patient, and persistent. We don't quit, and we'll reach success by this method. When we look, actually, one thing, when there's a little increase in Krishna consciousness, the first thing we kind of see, which is very discouraging, is just how deep rooted our material desires are. Karmashayan, the term is this, ashaya is a deep-rooted desire in the heart. Karmashayan is that desire to, deep desire to enjoy in the material world. And when we look and we see we can't do anything, how can we, it's so deep, it's so fixed, bigger than me. Against the size of this, I'm Anishwara. So that's, therefore we pray. And that's the prayer, Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya, Namas Tejas, Tejase, Avir, Avir, Tejas, Tejase. He is, Lord Nisringadeva is the power of all power. So I may be weak, but he is Tejas, Tejasi. Avir, Avir, Bhava. And we are praying, please appear, appear. Be manifest. How? Vajra Nakra, Vajra Dumstra. With your claws, like thunderbolts, a lightning bolt. Vajra, or also a diamond, as hard as diamonds. Vajra naka, vajra dhamstra, and your fangs, the same way. So really, and you appear that way, and then tamo grasa grasa. you can drive away ignorance. Well, first he says, karmashayan randaya randaya. So there it is, the karmashayan. Destroy, destroy this karmashayan. If our desires to enjoy in the world are very powerful, Lord Nisringa days appear, it goes. And then tamo grasa grasa om swaha. And in this way, abhayam abhayam atmani bhujtam om swaha. That's how it happens. The Sringadeva comes and does it. And we have to be wait patiently and try to pray sincerely. We cannot pray, please drive away or destroy my material desires, but leave this one alone. Or, please give me purity, but after 5 years. Give me 5 more years then. You have to really feel some urgency about this. So the Lord does it like this. So this is one should not become discouraged. You know, we have to sometimes come face to face with reality that my desires are deep rooted and I must have a terrible past to be so materially attached. But we should understand that this is not a do-it-yourself project. And that Krishna is willing to help us, and we ask him. Now I want to. So this is a very good verse to study. This Jata Shraddha Matkatasu. And there's another verse in Bhagavad Gita, which this verse is relevant. This is chapter 3, text 31. It goes, ye me matam idam nityam anutishtanti manavaha sharanvanto nasuyanto munchante te pikarma bihi. Those persons who execute their duties according to my injunctions, anutishtanti, execute regularly, idam matam, my injunctions, my orders, and who follow this teaching faithfully, that the shradavanta, they have faith and devotion, Prabhupada says, without envy, anusuyantaha, without envy, become free from the bondage of fruitive activities. Muchante tebi karma bihi. So, again, those persons who execute their duties according to my injunction and who follow these teachings faithfully without envy become free from the bondage of fruitive activities. Then Prabhupada writes, the injunction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the essence of all Vedic wisdom and therefore is eternally true without exception. As the Vedas are eternal, so this truth of Krishna consciousness is also eternal. One should have firm faith in this injunction without envying the Lord. This is without being resentful. The Lord gives us various injunctions. You should do this, you should do that. Here are the regular principles. And yeah, if we find them inconvenient, we say, oh, why is God torturing me? Why do I have to follow this? Oh, it's a codicil again. Damn it. I have to be hungry all day. Well, you know, that's what he means by resentful, envious. Yeah. In this case, there are many philosophers who write comments on the Bhagavad Gita but have no faith in Krishna. They will never be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activities. But an ordinary man, now listen to how this is where it gets close to this verse we just read. But an ordinary man, not a big philosopher, not anything, with firm faith in the eternal injunctions of the Lord, even though unable to execute such orders, becomes liberated from the bondage of the law of karma. In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, one may not fully discharge the injunctions of the Lord, but because one is not resentful of this principle and works sincerely without consideration of defeat and hopelessness, he will surely be promoted to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness. That's the verse in the 11th canto. Prabhupada doesn't say where this sentence comes from, but that's what it is, the one we just read, you know, Jatasradu Makata. So again, he says, in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, one may not fully discharge the injunctions of the Lord. Anishwar, I'm having a difficulty, I have to struggle. But because one is not resentful of this principle, in other words, that I should follow the injunctions of the Lord, I don't think, why is God torturing me with his do this and don't do that, huh? So that I'm not resentful. This is the envious. I don't have bad feelings toward Krishna for this thing. Because one is not resentful of this principle and works sincerely without consideration of defeat and hopelessness, as it says in the Ekaprita, he should remain happy. He will surely be promoted to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness. This is how to advance. This is how it takes place. It's just interesting to me how Prabhupada in this purport actually is quoting a verse from the 11th canto. Actually, if you start to study Prabhupada's commentaries, you see sometimes he thinks in shlokas. It's just one shloka after another. He doesn't say where it is, but it comes that way. So that's how to deal with his problems. First of all, we have to be convinced of this fact that all sense gratification, veda dukkatmakan kama, ehi samsparsaja boga dukkayona evate. We should know this. We should be convinced of it. And then we should take to the path of Krishna consciousness, and we should have faith and confidence, and not be discouraged. We should always that our standard for judgment should be that we are always sincerely trying to get better. Here's the beginning of Krishna consciousness, here's the end, the pure devotee. So people may be situated anywhere along the path, beginning with Ado Shraddha to Prema. You may be here, there, or other. But our standard of judgment is wherever a person is, where I am, I should simply be trying to get better. I should try to take the next step, try to improve myself. And in this way, I show Krishna that I'm interested. I may sometimes be defeated by, overpowered by material desires. Sometimes you have a bad day. Sometimes you run into your old girlfriend. So things happen, you know, and you don't know why. But whatever it is, you know, we just have to go back to the path and keep on going. We should be sorry. We want to make progress in Krishna consciousness. If we have a setback, or even we're stuck in some place, we should be really wanting to advance. But just to take the next step If it doesn't take too much in Krishna consciousness to just get to this point of wanting to advance in Krishna consciousness, that's our main thing. And if I sincerely want to do that, Krishna will also, with the lamp of knowledge, at least show us this is the next step. This is what you need to do. And he won't be that subtle about it either. It'll be obvious. And the facility that you may need to take that next step will be available to you. It will just so happen. Now, this is a fact. These are just some of the very basic principles of Krishna consciousness. And when Krishna says in the canto, you should remain happy, be encouraged in Krishna consciousness and await the mercy of the Lord. When he comes, he comes when he gives it. But I'll just be willing to wait. Necessary and keep on engaging with hope in devotional service. This is the attitude by which we make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Without being resentful, try to follow faithfully. Don't try to change the principles of Krishna consciousness to fit our bad behavior. But just go on in this way. Okay. Any comments, questions, doubts? Yes?
Comment about this prayer to Lord Mishinga that you mentioned. It was some months after I read the first book of Srila Prabhupada and I went to a Bhakti Yoga Center, it was in Germany, and I read a German translation of this prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And it struck me, I liked it so much. I said, wow, wonderful. I didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, mm-hmm. I just liked it. And I asked the devotee, so where is this prayer from? I want to learn the Sanskrit. And
mm-hmm.
So they gave me the Sanskrit, and then one devotee said, but be careful with this, because you know, Nishinath, it is very powerful. Some things might happen you will not like, or something like this. But I was very stubborn. So I learned the Sanskrit, and I was reciting the prayer, and I found a tune, and I was singing it, and then my life changed a little bit, and then I moved close to the temple, and I had a job as a driver, and all day I could sit in the car, and I could chant, and sing, and listen. It was nice, and always, every day, this prayer. And it took me 1 year to understand how much this prayer changed my life.
Yeah.
I was just doing my job, sitting in the car, and I was singing this prayer, and then the realization came. Wow, my God, look 1 year back, it was just about 1 year later. I look back at my life 1 year before, and it was so completely different, completely upside down, and I realized what I gave up in this 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing, and still I'm convinced it was just Lord Shingari.
It was. Yeah, thank you.
Was.
Thank
really,
you for telling us this story.
I can really advise anyone to learn this prayer and to chant it seriously, regularly. It's it's so nice. I was so happy to hear it because I never heard anyone talking about this prayer.
Oh, it's a great prayer. And if you read it in the Bhagavatam, one interesting thing about it is the purport continues in the next verse. Yeah, it really does. And the next verse is very good. Prahlad says, Swastyastu Vishvasha Kala. No. He says, that's right. Swastyastu Vishvasha Kalapasidatam Dayantabhutani Shivam Mitodiya Manastabhadram Bhajata Dadoksaja Aveshitam No Matarapyaraituki. That prayer by Prahlad, may the whole universe become swasti. Swasti astu vishvashu. May the whole universe become auspicious. Kalapasidatam, and won't everybody who's envious and hostile become peaceful. Dayantabhutani Shivam Nitodiya. May all living beings learn to think well of each other. Manastabhadram, and may our own mind become also pure and auspicious. All these things will happen by this. And manastabhadram tadat bhajatat adhoksaje aveshita no matarapyahitiki. And may these happen because our attention becomes causelessly fixed upon the Supreme Lord. And I had a chance to, I was invited, there's another adventure with the prayers of Prahlad. I was invited in 2002, this attack with the airplanes that happened in America, I guess in 2001, right? Is that what the year was? September 11, 2001, yeah. So in 2002, in Washington, D.C., there's a national cathedral there. They were going to have an interfaith memorial service because one of these planes hit the Pentagon, and there were a lot of people in Washington who died too, in addition to the two towers in New York that came down. So the nation was going to have a memorial service, and they wanted to have people from different faiths. And there's a god sister of mine, Rukmini. She's married to Anutama, ISKCON's director of communications. So Rukmini was engaged in some chanting group at the National Cathedral. And they said to her, "We want to have spiritual leaders from different traditions. Do you know anybody who could give a prayer before the whole thing to represent Hinduism?" And she called me up. I was in Hawaii at the time. She called me up and said, "Is there any, you know, prayer you could give on the basis of peace and harmony about that before this?" They ask everybody to recite a scriptural verse. And I thought of this one, of Prahlad. And I said, "Yeah, I'll do it." But I said, "Look, it's going to be at the Washington National Cathedral. It's a big event. You know, all the big people from the government will be there. I'm sure the people from the Indian Embassy are going to be there. You make sure you better tell them that, you know, I have a white body, and they maybe they might get upset if the person who's representing Hinduism, you know, is not from India. So you check on it." So she checked, and then she called me back, and she said, "They said it's okay." So that's the prayer. I stood up in front of everybody. Bishop Tutu was the star guy for this. He from South Africa, Desmond Tutu. He gave a little talk, but I started out with this prayer. You know, it was really wonderful. I could see, you know, all the vice president and the secretary of state and all these people, and rows and rows of guys with, you know, stars in their shoulders, and so I was able to speak out, you know, this prayer of Prahlad Maharaj. So it's the next one after this one. Swasti astu vishvasya kala apasidatam. So that's his prayer to Nisringadev. It was for everybody, you know, to be peaceful. And so Prabhupada has a wonderful purport to those two verses. He said, whenever there's a prayer, there should be a request for a benediction. And just we have to know what to ask for. So this the material desires are deeply rooted. They're bigger than we are, but if the Srinadev comes, they're gone. They disappear. Notice you said something that was very. One year later, you realized making spiritual advancement is. Oh, it's like, say, losing weight or gaining weight. Day to day, you don't notice a difference. But after a year, you can see it. So when you're doing some exercise or anything to improve yourself, your progress on a day-to-day basis may not seem. But if you look back over time, then you can see. So spiritual advancement is the same. Once in a while, something may happen extraordinary. But usually, you know, you have to be a little patient. But then if you look back, you'll see. How much one's life has changed just in a year. So that Nisringa prayer, I just happened to run across it when I was studying the fifth canto, and I said, "Well, I didn't know about this prayer." And I started chanting it too, you know, all the time. I thought it was great, and then I noticed the next one, and so that's Vandanam, right? It's one of the things we're supposed to do, offer prayers. Somebody else? Yeah?
Just a comment. At Munich Airport, they have a small chapel.
Where?
Munich.
In Germany.
Uh-huh. And in this chapel, they have a book where each religion is allowed to represent some essentials from their tradition.
Uh-huh.
And also Hinduism is represented in this verse.
It is? Oh, that's good. This is the Nisringa prayer?
Yeah.
Om Namo Bhagavate.
It's 589.
Huh? I guess because of the closeness of Lord Nisringadev there. Funny, he appeared in Bavaria, huh? Why? Anyway. Yeah. Anything else? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.
There's a birthday party.